welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 23, and Mark 15, verses 42 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Jesus is the Risen Lord.
Old Testament is going to be taken from the second book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 20, verse 1 to 23.
After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with them some of the Menuhites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hezron Tamar, that is, Engedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the towns of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our Lord, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and in it have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and save. See now, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, when they come from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, they reward us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against the great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the middle of the assembly, he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. The battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets. When he had taken counsel with the peoples, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor as they went before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord. for his steadfast love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the Ammonites and Moab attacked the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Right. Then our New Testament is taken from Mark 15, 42 to the end.
When the evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where the body was laid.
Thank you very much. Two short thoughts on one on each of these readings. The first one is all about an imminent danger happening to the kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat calling on the whole of that kingdom to come to the Lord. And you might remember May 26, 1940, very special date as King George VI called the whole country to a day of prayer at the time when the British army was stuck in Dunkirk. And following that day of prayer, only eternity will let us know. There was no, like in the days of Jehoshaphat, a prophet who would confirm, but I think the confirmation was the extraordinary evacuation of the British army, plus many, many other soldiers from various countries who were able to be safely brought back to England without a major battle. So an amazing kind of modern take of the power of coming to God in humility and in faith, and God intervening in quite extraordinary ways during that time. So let us continue to be a people of prayer. And when there are special days of prayer, whether it's the week of prayer for unity or whether it's specific prayers that we hear, let us believe that as we join ourselves into those big prayers, that God hears, God sees, and God moves. In the New Testament, often if you read about skepticism with the resurrection, they will have all kind of arguments. But the resurrection for the believer is absolutely central. The bodily resurrection, that Jesus truly rose from the dead, not kind of a spiritual understanding of the resurrection, or not just like they had some kind of hallucinations or dreams of Jesus, but no, that they saw Jesus in bodily form, and there are various accounts of that in the scripture. And it's at the heart of the Christian faith. Without Jesus raising from the dead bodily, Paul says, don't even bother with Christian faith. It has nothing to give you. Because at the heart of the Christian faith is not how we climb to God by our good works, but is the belief that God came to us to destroy sin and death. And the clear sign of that destruction is that death has been destroyed through Jesus when he rose from the dead and saw himself, show himself in bodily form. So it's absolutely central to our faith. But two of the main arguments to say, well, maybe Jesus didn't really die, and he was just unconscious, and okay, he was put in the tomb, but you know, after 3 days he recovered. And so it was not a bodily resurrection, but like a resuscitation, a little bit like, you know, when your heart stops and you might be dead for a few minutes or for a few hours if you had someone giving you the necessary medical attention. But here there is a little sentence that says, so you have Joseph of Arimathea, who comes to claim the body, and Pilate is surprised. And we hear in another reading that there was a centurion who came and pierced the heart of Jesus to ensure that he was truly dead. And in that account, we hear about blood and water spring from the site. But we have here the other side. So we have Pilate, the most important person, who then wonder if he really was dead, and so calls on the expert of the day. And when the expert comes back claiming he's dead, he's satisfied, showing that Jesus was truly dead. The most important person, like the king, knew who to go to ask for confirmation. Today we would go to a medical person who is an expert in claiming, and we have coroners, they would go, and we know that when the coroner says, yep, he's dead, we know he's dead, or she's dead. So that was the coroner of the day, and it's clear that Jesus was indeed dead. The other one is that, well, maybe the disciples mistaken the tomb and went to the wrong one, and that was an empty one, and so believed that Jesus was gone, and then had some kind of dreams and hopes, and so that's how the resurrection took place. Again, here we hear that Joseph actually had a very specific tomb in mind. It was not a common tomb, it was a new one, and that already stands out. But not only that, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where the body was laid. They knew where the tomb was, and they were the one in that morning to witness firsthand of the resurrection. They went back to the one that they had seen beforehand, and it was not difficult to recognize because it wasn't a common, it was a very new tomb. So two things in this passage: Jesus was truly dead, and they couldn't have mistaken the tomb because they knew where it was. But to remind us that at the heart of our Christian faith is the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And that's a key. And that's, in a sense, yes, it is true. It is very difficult to believe. I would say it's even impossible to believe without God opening our eyes to his character, to his work, but also to his power. He is able to raise the one from the dead who shouldn't be punished, shouldn't be under that curse, because Jesus was without sin. And so in dying our death, he took away our curse by being crucified and by conquering sin and death on our behalf. And that's the heart of our Christian faith, that it is by grace. It's a gift that we are saved, not by works. So that's, yeah, two short reflection, one on the Old Testament, a day of prayer, promulgated by George the VI, and then the heart, the resurrection. Anything for you that in any of those readings?
I think trusting in the Lord and praying.
The Old Testament reading was interesting because
Yeah, Andy, yeah.
Sorry, Joycey. Yeah, sorry. Carry on. Carry on, Joycey. Right.
Yeah, I think looking at the Old Testament, I think they're sort of putting across that the Lord is going to be there for them, sort of trust in him, and the fact that they sort of all fell on their knees. And I think we need, firstly, everything, now we just need to put prayer first. Prayer is so important, without a doubt. And just taking things to the Lord, he is there to help us, and not trying to do it in our own strength.
Thank you. Yeah.
Definitely.
And Andy was saying.
I was just saying that at our home group last evening, we were looking at that passage in Isaiah chapter 1 and trying to relate that to modern conflicts, Gaza and Ukraine, and we were puzzled. This is yet another story about God saying to the Israelites, "The battle is not yours to fight." That's what it says. There will be a victory. And actually, what happened was the warring nations or clans that were trying to attack Israel attacked one another and destroyed one another. And it's just a picture, isn't it, of how where something seems just so impossible from a human point of view to that your country will not be invaded by superior armies, that God can be in control if we believe that he will restore us and rescue us. So this is it's I do feel that when we looked at that passage in Isaiah, we were all trying to puzzle how this might relate to the present day. But this story is perhaps an example of how God can rescue in ways that human beings cannot understand, and perhaps we will never understand it. But we need to be faithful that God will rescue in situations like that.
The word that came to me from the Old Testament, a little bit along your lines, Andy, and I've written it down: beware fighting amongst each other. And I think as Christians, we need to be very careful of fighting between each other, and how it just dilutes the power of our faith when non-believers see us fighting. So that was what jumped out at me. And thank you for explaining the other reasons that people are encouraged not to believe that Jesus Christ is God and is the risen Lord. So that was really interesting. I shall be prepared.
I think to finish again with this Old Testament is the power of praise, because that's what they were called to do. They didn't do any of the battles. They were praising him in his holy splendor and saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." I think we did a service of healing and wholeness, and at the heart was, let us praise the Lord. It is his ministry and his work. And yes, he will use people in the prayer ministry, but we are only conduct of his grace and his presence. And so the importance of praising God and filling our minds with his character, his intention, and his purpose.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.